Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Today, I am starting my portion of our series, Built for Reign, which is our study of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew's 5 through 7, and it is Jesus' message that really is laying out his new kingdom that he gave. I think it's the greatest message that has ever been preached. There will never be a message that anywhere comes close to the message, the Sermon on the Mount. It's such a good message that we're going to take several weeks taking Jesus' one message and breaking it down so we can dive into it and pull so much out of what Jesus had to say in his Sermon on the Mount. It is words to live by. It is something to build our lives on. It is the message that he came proclaiming out of the gate as his foundational message. And so over our summer series, we're going to lean into Jesus' message, the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5 through 7, we're going to start by reading a portion of the Sermon on the Mount in just a moment. I am a pretty avid reader. I like to read pretty regularly. It's part of what I like. I'm always reading. I actually was at a baseball game like a month or so ago, and there was this family, and at the edge of the family, there was this kid who was sitting at the baseball game with a book out, like reading their book, and I was like, I love that kid right there. I know that kid right there. The kid who's like, I just always have a book tucked with me somewhere. I call them my safety books. Tracy was making fun of me when I went to Belize because I also pride myself on being like a very minimalist packer. Like I can pack for a long time in a carry-on suitcase. And I don't know why, but it's become quite a mark of like, it's something I'm very proud of in my life, how little I can pack when I go somewhere. And so we were talking about what I was packing and I was showing her and I was like, look how good I did. But then I was like, oh, but also I brought like this entire stack of books with me to go all the way just to be gone for a week. It's ridiculous. And I love to read. But here's something that drives me nuts when I read. Well, not when I read, when you read. Do you have any of those friends who jump to the end of the book before they read the beginning? Why? It makes me like it actually makes me almost on the edge of angry. Like, it makes me so upset that you would jump to the end of a book and start reading the end of it before you, because here's the thing. If it's a fiction book and it's a story that someone has intentionally rolled out and you jump to the end of the book, you're ruining all of the character development, all of the intrigue, all of the intentional tension that they've built in the story. You're ruining the climactic arc of the story and all of the effort that they've put in because you've just jumped to the end and ruined the entire plot twist. And if it's a nonfiction, someone has painstakingly written out and developed their thought and their theory to take you on a journey and to develop where they need you to land. And you have just disregarded all of their effort and all of their work and jumped to the end of the book to read the very end to find out if where they start is even worth it. It drives me crazy. That's what we're going to do today, though. We're going to jump to the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount today. And today, we're going to read the last few verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Because I think knowing where Jesus ends this thing will help us better take in where he lays out as we lead to it. There's something about what he's telling us at the very end of his sermon that tells us what we're supposed to be doing with the rest of it. Over the next several weeks, I would love for you in your own time to read Matthew 5 through 7 between when we're here together to get these words in you. But for today, we're going to start in Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. Matthew 7, starting in verse 24, reads like this. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew, and they pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew, and they pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. Jesus gets all the way to the end of his great sermon. He has been laying out principle on principle, and he has been laying out idea on idea. He has been giving them this sermon, and he comes all the way to the end of it, and he tells them a parable, a story that he's giving them in order to make a point, in order to grasp a moral truth out of it. And the story that he gives them is a story about two houses, two structures that have been built, two dwelling places that have been constructed in order for something to reside on the inside of them. Now, in Old Testament language, there is a structure that is built. There is a dwelling place that is created, that is a physical place designed and intended for the presence of God to come and to dwell in that place. It's called the house of God. It's called the temple of God. But in New Testament language, and if we're reading in Matthew, we're reading in New Testament language, there is a different structure that has been built. There is a different thing that has been created that is designed to be the place where the Spirit of God comes and resides, that is now called the temple of God. And it is not something that has been built with bricks, and it's not something made of mortar, and it's not something with siding or with shingles. Now the temple of God is us. You become the temple of God. You become the house where his presence resides. Jesus tells them a parable about two houses, but his parable about two houses has nothing to do with wood or brick. It has everything to do with the life that you are building. He says there are two lives that are built. There are two houses. There are two places that are designed to be the places of my dwelling. And there are two of them that are built. One is built on the rock and one is built on the sand. The rock that it is built on is Jesus and his teachings. The rock that the house is built on is the word of God and the person of Jesus. And the house that is not built on that is built on the sand. And these two houses are standing side by side. And it says, as they stand side by side, a storm comes. It says, wind comes and rain comes and the rivers rise next to these two houses that symbolize your life. The house that was built on the rock was not exempt from the storm. Just because the house was built on Jesus, just because the house was built on the things of God, did not give it a pass from the storms of life. It didn't matter to the storm that this person came to the house of God every Sunday. It didn't matter to the storm that came that this person was righteous in all that they did. It didn't matter to the storm what you decided to build your life on, sand or stone. The rain was coming regardless. Jesus' sermon to us is about building our life for the rains that are bound to come in life. I fear sometimes that we think of our gospel, we think of our truth as a green grass gospel. and we build for sunshine. And then when the storms of life come, we're shocked and we're in awe and we're offended that the storm would come against me. Have you ever felt this way? Like if you've been walking with Jesus for a minute, have you ever felt like, how dare this storm come towards my life? I'll just talk for myself. I can get going where I'm like, Jesus, I have been walking with you for a long time. And I have been in your house for a long time. I have hardly missed a Sunday. Most of the Sundays that I miss here are because I'm at another Sunday somewhere else with another people of believers. Jesus, I have been bringing my tithes into your house and I give extra unto other people and I show up to serve on serve days and I pray for people and I've committed my life to following you and I don't look at things I'm not supposed to look at and I don't talk about things I'm not supposed to talk about. Jesus, I'm a pretty good person. And then something starts happening in your life and y'all can get in a pity party pretty bad. Like, how come this is happening to me now? And woe is me over here. And Jesus, why is a storm coming at me now? Because if I'm honest, there's a little part of me that believes that if I live my life good enough, and if I live my life sincere enough, and if I live my life in service of Him enough, then the storms are gonna pass me by. And I just wanna live in a sunshine faith. And I just wanna live in a blue sky kind of faith. And I just want to live in a faith where the green pastures roll out. And then I can add some verses to it. Like, He owns a cattle on a thousand hill. And He's just going to lead me into His paths of righteousness. And He walks me beside still waters. And that is true, but it's also true that it rains on the just and on the unjust. It's also true that there are times in life where the rain comes and the wind blows and the waters start to rise. And if I haven't built my life for rain, it sweeps me away. And Jesus has painstakingly just written out His sermon and proclaimed His sermon and His message to these people. And He's all the way at the end of it. And He's like, hold on, hold on, hold on. I don't want you to get the idea that at the end of all of this, your life is only going to be sunshine. I want to remind you that the reason I've been preaching this message to you, I want to remind you that the things I've been laying out for you are not because storms are going to pass you by. They're so that you can build your life for the rain. I built with the expectation that rain is coming my way. I built with the expectation that I'm going to withstand a storm or two on the other side of this. I built in such a way that I said at the end of this, I'm still going to be standing. He preached His whole Sermon on the Mount, and then He got to the end and He said, I need you to remember to build for the rain. And there are these two houses, one built for rain, one not built for rain. And in a lot of ways, these houses and the people who built them and the people who live in them are very similar. They both came and they heard the teaching of Jesus. They both came and they heard His message preached. They both came and they knew who Jesus was. And then they built houses. And they were both apparently in a very similar proximity because the same storm came to both of them and the same message came to both of them. And from all expectations from the exterior, the houses largely looked the same. That if you looked at them from the outside, it seems like there's a lot in similar to these houses. They come to the same church every Sunday. And they sing the same songs next to each other. And they sit on the same row. And they clap their hands. And they lift their hands. And they smile together. And they say, we love the Lord. And their houses, for all intensive purposes, look the same. Except for one difference. It says that one of them heard it and acted on it. The other one heard it and did not act on it. And the one that heard it and acted on it built their life on the rock. And the one that heard it and did not act wrecked on it, built their life on the sand. Two people show up and they hear the same message from Jesus. They leave and they have two very different responses. One of them changes their life. One of them implements what they heard. One of them begins doing the things. They don't just hear his word, they do his word. They don't just listen to what Jesus says, they enact what Jesus says. They don't just clap at a sermon, they begin to transform who they are. The other one comes and they hear it. The other one comes and they listen to it. The other one comes and they clap for it. But when they leave, nothing has changed on the inside of them. The mindset is the same, and the value system is the same. The belief system is the same. The habits are the same. The relationships are the same. Everything that they are building on is the same, and the things that they are building on are their own things. It's their own wisdom and their own knowledge and what their family told them and how we did it where I grew up and what culture tells me and a tip I saw on TikTok, and they build that as their foundation, except for it's a sandy foundation and it looks okay for a little while. And from the outside, it looks like they painted it so nice. And from the outside, it looks like everything's going okay, except for there is a storm brewing around. There is a storm that's coming, like it or not. There's a storm that comes to every life. There is rain and there is wind that is on its way. And when the rain came and when the wind blew, they found out that it wasn't just hearing the word that made a difference in their life. It was doing the word that made a difference in their life. One of them heard it and fell, and great was the fall. And one of them heard it and did it, and they stood after the storm. I came to tell you that over the next several weeks, we're leaning into the Sermon on the Mount, not so you can quote some new scriptures and not so you can know some new words and not just so we can read all the text, so you can do the word, so you can leave here and build your life on a rock solid foundation, because there are storms that will come to you and there are winds that will come to you and there is rain that will come your way. And I need you to know that I don't want your fall to be great, but I want you to stand, that when the winds clear and when the sky comes back blue and when that sun finally returns, we're gonna find out that you're still standing, because you were built for rain. They built on a rock solid foundation. It's wild. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been able to travel somewhere kind of coastal. Somewhere where, you know, they live right next to the ocean, or seeing those gorgeous homes that have ocean views that get built right out on the sand and on the edge of the water. They build them differently than here in the lovely Midwest. I like this part of the country. You know, we don't get a lot. We get like a little bit of a tornado scare, not too much. We don't get earthquakes. We don't get floods. We don't get hurricanes. I like it here. It's a good part of the country. When you're not here, you have to build differently. And can you imagine if you were building somewhere beautiful and coastal, and you went and you're talking to a builder, and he's like, yeah, I read all this stuff. I was reading about how when we build houses here, steel beams really help them stand against the rough winds that come off of the edge of the waters and off of the ocean. You know, the wind can really pick up, so steel beams really make a difference. And I heard this other contractor, and he was telling me how you have to build on a raised foundation. We either need to raise a foundation or we need to do stilts. That way, when water does rise, we're up on the other side of that. He was telling me all about how that's how he does it. And I was reading this other thing about where you can get these shutters that they close up over your windows. That way your windows are closed and they're nice and tight. And that's how we build to make sure that we're ready for the storm. And you're like, that sounds great. That sounds great. Okay, how are we going to do that? And he's like, oh, we're not going to do any of that. I read about it, but you know, the steel beams, they cost more. And you know, the raised foundation, it's a lot more complicated than just a regular old slab foundation. And those steel shutter things, I think they're going to ruin the aesthetic of what I'm looking for. So we're not going to do any of that. You would be like, what are you doing? It's like you don't know where we're at. It's like you don't know where we're building. You're obviously not the person for this job if you don't think that it's worth it to do the things that are required to build for the storm. But a lot of us build our faith that way. We want to come to church on a Sunday, and we've got our playlist stacked with worship music. And we haven't missed a day in our 365 reading plan. And we listen to a litany of podcasts of preachers' messages all week long. And all of that is good. You've read all about it. And you've listened all about it. And it's stuff that is good to fill your life with. But it's meaningless if at the end of the day you listen to it, but you don't apply it. It's meaningless if at the end of the day you hear it, but you don't install it. It will cost you something to build for rain. It's going to complicate your life to build for rain. Sometimes it's going to ruin your vibe to build for rain. But when the rains come, you're going to stand on the other side of it. There's something on the other side where you can stand still and stand stable because you've built for rain. Jesus lays out his foundational message. It's his message where he begins to give to them a new kingdom perspective and a new kingdom mindset, where he's telling them, I came to announce that the kingdom of God is here. I came to announce the kingdom of heaven. And he begins telling them, this is what it looks like to be in the kingdom. He gives them a whole new value system for what it's like in the kingdom. He gives them a new sexual ethic for what it's like in the kingdom. He gives them a new perspective for their money for what it's like in the kingdom. He talks about to them about their neighbors and their enemies when you're in the kingdom. He tells them how to fix their mental health inside of the kingdom. He begins laying out for them a whole new way, and in many ways it doesn't make sense because it comes up in direct confrontation with the ways that we naturally want to move. It comes up in great confrontation with the culture of their day and with the culture of our day. He's telling them, I am trying to give you something brand new, a brand new way to live, a brand new way to see your life. I'm trying to give you something that is going to pull you out of darkness and into light. I have a whole new way of living, and I'm trying to transform the ways that you used to live and the things that you used to measure by and the things that you used to judge by and the things that you used to consider your priority. I'm reprioritizing all of it. Jesus is laying out a fresh foundation of what this new kingdom living will be like. And here's my concern, is that we like parts of his foundation and not all of it. We're like, blessed are the humble, they will inherit the earth. Okay. What about blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? We're like, well, not so much that one. Or we're like, blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. No, no. Blessed are the persecuted for my sake. You're just persecuted for your own foolishness. And then trying to pretend that you are inheriting the kingdom of heaven. That's not the foundation that he laid. You're persecuted because of the righteousness for him. Okay, that's a whole, we're going to hit that next week. Okay, we wanna take part of it and not all of it. We're like, seek first the kingdom of God and all of this will be added unto you. Beautiful. Beautiful. What about the measure to which you judge others will be returned to you? What about that part? and we cherry pick our foundation. And we're like, I like this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and I like this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and I like this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I don't want to talk so much about my enemies. I don't like that bit at all. And this part over here about being persecuted, absolutely not. That's not for me. And I don't need Jesus telling me what to do inside of my marriage. He doesn't understand my situation. So I'm going to put that over there. But that's not how foundations work. We're making Jenga blocks of the foundations of our life. And then when the storm comes and the rain falls and the wind blows and our life starts swaying and our life starts moving, we wonder, where is my foundation, Jesus? Jesus, where is the part where you told me I'm going to stand? Jesus, where is the part where you told me I'd make it to the other side? And he's like, I told you to build for rain, but you built on what you wanted to build on. You wanted to be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. Nothing works when you hear it and implement it, all of it, from Matthew 5, 1 to Matthew 7, 29, all of it, and all of his teachings, and all of who he is. When you put the whole word into practice, we can't take pieces and parts of who Jesus is. It's why I am so passionate about the fact that we declare Jesus everywhere. We declare all of who he is, because he is the one who will radically transform your life. He is the one who will radically transform our days. And there are too many people cherry picking parts of Jesus because they like aspects of his sermon and they like aspects of his life and they like parts of who he is, but they don't want to take all of him, and they don't want to lay his whole foundation, and they don't want to be changed and transformed by it. We just want to talk about little pieces of who Jesus is, preferably the parts of Jesus that line most perfectly with our political party of the day. We like that part of Jesus, and we like to tell people why. That's why we vote how we vote, and that's why we like to tell people, well, you know, Jesus was a Democrat because he loved to care for the poor and he hugged the immigrant. And then we love to tell other people, well, you know, that's why Jesus was a Republican, because he cared about your marriage and he cared about gender ideology, and that's who Jesus is. And how I did not intend to get on this today, but how dare you try and build your life on a political party and then wash it with the blood of Jesus? You're building your life on sand. That's not what Jesus' message is. We will not water it down, and we will not belittle it to being something so microscopic as our current time, our current moment, and our current ideology. I'm not building my life on the coming and going sand of whatever political persuasion, of whatever governmental factor happens to be standing right now. I'm building my life on the rock solid foundation of who Jesus is, all of his teaching, all of his ways, the parts that comfort me and the parts that don't, the parts that are easy for me and the parts that are hard, because at the end of the storm, I intend to still be standing. You gotta build for the rain. You gotta build for rain. And can I just say, I think sometimes we look at other people's situations and we label as a fall what's really a storm. That we look at their life and we remember parts of our scripture and we see the waves crashing over them. We see the winds of life bashing up against them. And we say, oh, that one's fallen. But it might just be a storm. You gotta give it a minute. You gotta wait and see. You gotta wait till the wind's clear. I've lived long enough to know that I've watched some things where I went, those waves are way up over their head. They're in way deeper than they ever thought they could. The winds around them are whipping and they're loud. The chaos that's ensuing around them. This looks like a fall, but in a little while, the winds started calming down and the rain started clearing. And when I looked through the haze, I saw somebody still standing, because they were built for rain. And I've seen people go through things that were hurtful, but it was just like a little gust, and it was just like a little rain, and it was painful, but it wasn't all that I'd seen someone else walk through. And when the wind was over and the gust ended, great was the fall, because they had been built on sand. Jesus comes to the end of his sermon and he's telling them, I am giving you a whole new way of living. I am giving you a way of being born into something new. This is my foundational message of what it means to be born into the kingdom of God. John 3, John captures for us a story about when Jesus meets with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a scribe. He was someone who studied the things of God. And he comes to Jesus and he begins asking him, what is it that I have to do to inherit your kingdom? And Jesus says to him, you need to be born again. Nicodemus asks him and he says, what am I supposed to do? Re-enter my mother's womb? What do you mean, be born again? And Jesus says to him, those who are going to enter my kingdom have to be born again of water and of spirit. And when Jesus came, he came announcing his kingdom was coming. And when he announced that his kingdom was coming, he was telling them to turn from the ways that they had known and towards a whole new way of living. His Sermon on the Mount is his instruction for what this new foundation looks like when we are born into a fresh way of living. See, I think that often we have shrunk salvation down to being a ticket into heaven. We've shrunk salvation down to just being our escape from hell's fires. When in reality, Jesus' message when he came was far more about getting heaven into you and about getting heaven into the earth than it was about making sure that you had fire insurance. Jesus' message was far more about saying, this is what's happening in heaven. I need some people who are ready to live the costly life. I need some people who are ready to live an inconvenient life. I need some people who are ready to let go of their current aesthetic and see if they can find a way to become a declaration of heaven in the earth. There is a heaven way of living. And he lays it out for us in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, this is what it looks like to begin to love your neighbor. This is what it looks like to pray for those who persecute you. This is what it looks like to not worry about your money. This is what it looks like to lay your anger down and to choose forgiveness instead. He says, I have a whole new way of living for you. And here's the good news, that when you build your life on my way of living, it's not sifting and it's not faulty and it's not shifting. When you build your life on my way of living, it is rock solid, that there is a solid foundation for you. And what I want for us over the next several weeks as we go through the Sermon on the Mount and as we lean into Jesus' teachings is to take what he says at the end and apply it all the way through. That we would not be those who come here and gather together on a weekend and read his word and celebrate his word and hear his messages preached and celebrate who Jesus is, but then we leave here and we don't do anything about it. When we leave here, it should challenge us. It should convict us. It should cause us to be called up into something higher, like being those who begin to establish heaven's order on earth, who walk into places with a whole new way of living. I promise you it will require you to change some things in your life. I promise you, it will require you to learn some new ways. Even as I've been reading back through it again, and as I've been studying it again, preparing for our next couple of weeks together, it has challenged me anew to go, God, call me higher. God, change the way that I live. Change the way that I respond to others. Change the way that I think about things, because God is calling us to be reborn into a new way of living, not the thing that we first came into, but His kingdom ethic that anticipates that storms will come in your life. It anticipates that rain is coming. It anticipates that there's a wind that will blow your way. But at the end of it, you will still be standing, because you are built for rain. You're built for the rains that come. You're built for the storms that may come. You're built for the wind that's going to try and knock you over when you build on a rock solid foundation. The foundation of Jesus, His teaching and His ways. We're going to be those who don't just hear His word, but who do His word as well. Will you stand with me, all who are able? I just want to pray that prayer over you, that over the coming weeks, Holy Spirit, you would lead us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're in this place. I thank you that you're moving. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your word, that it is living and active, Jesus. And we just ask you to open our hearts. I'm reminded of the parable of the seeds. And God, we want to be like the good seed, and we want to be the good soil. We don't want to be those who hear your word but then leave and forget about it. We want to be those in whom it takes root in our lives, that it grows in us and it produces in us, that we would be good fruit. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you're doing something new in us, and you're changing us to be more like you, God. And I speak over this church, and I speak over these people, that they are not just hearers of the word, that when the storms come, they will not fall, but that they are those who hear and do your word. It builds a solid foundation in their life, and that they will last, they will remain, they will still be standing on the other side of a storm. We thank you for it, Jesus. And everybody who agrees says, amen, 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 church.